Thank you very much to all of you who did a shoebox, and we got those out. I think we had, the final count was about 15 or 16 boxes, which is great. And so also thank you for your gifts to help defray the cost of that as well. We are going to be talking about Thanksgiving, obviously, today. Our message is entitled A Heart of Thanks, and I wanted to look at what God does when we are thankful. Now, if you've been watching morning devotions at all, you know that we have been talking about this very same thing. And so it may be a little bit of review for you, or preview for the week to come. But either way, I hope that you find something in here that will really help you understand the importance of being thankful and showing gratitude and being someone who is more than just giving lip service to being thankful. There were two men who were walking through a field. And as they were walking through the field, they saw a bull. And the bull got angry, as bulls tend to do, and began to charge them. In their freaked out moment, they began to run as fast as they could for the fence, but it was soon very apparent that they were not going to make it. So one of the guys said, "John, you've got to say a prayer to help us out of this." He says, "I've never prayed in public before in my life." And his companion said, "But you got to, because this bull is catching up to us. We got to cry out for help." He says, "There's only one prayer that I remember as a kid, and it's the one my dad always used to pray before a meal, so I'll try it. Oh God, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Yeah, that's a good one. H.A. Ironside, one of the premier theologians of the last century, was about to begin his meal in a crowded restaurant when a man came and asked if he could sit with him. And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And as he began his meal, he bowed his head to pray in silence for a few moments. And then when he was done, he looked up and the man asked him, "Do you have a headache?" He said, "No." He says, "Well, something wrong with your food?" He said, "No, I was just giving thanks to God for my food, as I do before every meal." And the man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you?" He said, "Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Ironside looked at the man kind of sideways and chuckled a little bit, and he says, "You know, you remind me a lot of my dog. That's what he does too." Yeah. Author Irma Bombeck once wrote that there are an estimated 1.5 million at the time of that writing, 1.5 million people who are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Irma says, "Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, 'I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything.'" And the kid is right. We too ought to give thanks for the things that God has given us. And more than just a token prayer before a meal, more than anything that we could even begin to figure out, you know, what it is that we have. But we should really take time to thank God, because it is important that we do it. Because it's in our thanks, it's in our gratitude, that God begins to do some pretty amazing things. We see it throughout the Bible. And we're going to look at some examples from Scripture, and we're going to look at what happens when we give thanks. So, our Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So please stand and read with me. Now, I know there are some tough names in this passage, but I've always liked this guy's name right here, the second one, He-Man. That's what I wanted to name one of my kids, but Cindy wouldn't let me name one of my daughters He-Man. So anyway, let's read this passage together. 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Duthan, and their sons and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you have done for us and what you want to do in us and through us. Lord, I pray today that as we worship through the reading of your word, through looking at what you have to say to us about being thankful, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what you want us to do and to be. And Lord, that you would help us to not only understand it, but to walk in obedience to it. We love you, and we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you are and all that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so we are going to talk together about four examples of people who gave thanks to God and what happened during those times. Let's look at the examples of giving thanks. The first one we're going to look at is David from 1 Chronicles 16. It helps if you're in the right book. Not 2 Chronicles, but 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16, this passage 8-36, is simply the song of thanks and praise that David had written for the occasion of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. You remember the story behind it. David had originally wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and so they put it on a cart and had it pulled with oxen. And as they were coming down the road, one of the oxen stumbled, which caused the cart to tip over. And as it was beginning to tip, one of the priests reached out to steady the Ark of God. And the moment he touched it, he fell down dead, because God had made that piece of furniture, if you will, holy and untouchable by human hands. And what they were supposed to be doing was to have poles on that ark and lifted by four priests who then would carry it. And that would be a lot safer than pulling it on a cart. But because David didn't follow the law in that point, it caused the death of someone. And so the ark remained where it was for quite a while, until finally God told David, go get the ark and bring it to Jerusalem. So he brings it into Jerusalem, and as it is being brought, you remember back in 2 Kings, when David brings the ark in, he's dancing before the ark and he's just let loose, right? He's just happy and praising God in that way. And so This is in the midst of this song, he appoints Levites to hold continuous prayer meetings. In fact, part of what we had read earlier was what was going on with David there, and he had brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He appointed some of the Levites to hold continuous prayer meetings, men who were to play music to the Lord. They were to offer petition. They were to praise the Lord, and they were to give thanks. And he wrote this song of thanksgiving to the Lord, which we're not going to read, but I would encourage you to read it a little bit later. And all of the people who were there said amen and praised the Lord once the song was over. All of them agreed that God is good, and they were thanking him for what he had done. This is the example of David. Then we have the example of Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And there was thanks given in the dedication of the temple. In fact, we saw part of it from where we were reading in our scripture reading this morning. And the fact that God is coming down and showing up, right? And even after all of that, Solomon is there giving thanks to God for allowing him to build the temple, something that David, his father, wasn't allowed to do, but now it found its completion under Solomon. And of course, they're giving thanks for what God had provided. Then there's the example of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 2. He had just become king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and one of the very first things that he did when he became king, King Hezekiah, was to purify the temple. Now, we just got done, didn't just get done. Last year we were going through the history of the Jews, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and we saw that many times throughout the reigns of these kings, there were times when the purity of worship had been soiled, had been set aside for idol worship, for less than wholehearted obedience to God. And as a result, there were a lot of things going on in the temple that needed to be purified. And so he begins to do this, and one of the very first things he does to purify the temple is he appoints Levites with the specific task of doing nothing but giving thanks. That was their job. They were to stand and give thanks to the Lord for what he had done. Another example is the example of Nehemiah. In fact, will you turn to Nehemiah? Because this is one I want to read. This is really neat. Nehemiah is the one who comes and he at the very beginning of the book, he is in Assyria. He is a cupbearer for the king. His butler, in essence, the one who would taste his food and drink his wine before giving it to the king to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. How'd you like to have that job? Right? I'm going to make sure this isn't poisoned so that if I fall over dead, then you'll be safe. Yeah. But Hezekiah, this is who Hezekiah was, and he heard about the fact that the walls of Jerusalem were in disrepair. And it saddened him to the point where he couldn't hide it from the king. And the king said, "Hey, Nehemiah, what's on your mind? Why the long face?" sort of thing. And Nehemiah told him what was going on and asked the king to help. And so the king does help, and Nehemiah takes a bunch of the Jewish people who had been in exile back to Jerusalem. And they begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And as they're doing that, they face all kinds of opposition, right? They face opposition from within Israel. They face more opposition from outside of Israel, people who had come in and kind of taken over that area. And they're telling them, "You can't do this, you can't do this." And finally, the wall is not complete, but it's nearing completion. And so Nehemiah decides to have a wall dedication to dedicate the walls of Jerusalem to the Lord. And look at what he says here, starting in verse 30. "When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the," and this is Nehemiah talking, he's writing in the first person here. He said, "I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall and also assign two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed to the top of the wall to the right, toward the Dung Gate. There's a good gate. And Hosheiah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, as well as some priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micaiah, son of all of these guys, son of Asaph, and his associates, Shemaiah, Azriel, Milalai, Galilai, Mai, yes you may, Nathaniel, Judah, and Hanani. With musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God, Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the site of David's palace to the water gate on the east. So not only is there a dedication, there's a parade. Right? I mean, that's what's going on here. There's a parade through town. The second choir, not just one choir, two choirs. The first choir went up, then the second choir proceeded in the opposite direction, and I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall over the gate of Ephraim, the Jeshanah gate, the fish gate, the Tower of Haniel, and the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the sheep gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. Then the two choirs gave thanks, took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half of the officials. So here is Nehemiah. Choirs are assigned, and before they take their positions into the temple, they have this parade, all for the single purpose of giving thanks to God for what he had done. Not just coming back to Israel, not just building the wall, but reestablishing them as a nation, reestablishing them and fighting for them in some very specific and great ways. So these are some examples from the Old Testament. Of course, there are examples in the New Testament as well. Obviously, the one that comes to mind the most for me is Jesus, who, after his cousin John the Baptist is beheaded, right? He wants to go off and be alone. And when he gets to the other side of the lake to be alone, he gets there and there's thousands of people there to see him. And so he spends the day ministering to these people, healing their sick. It gets to be about evening, and the disciples come and tell Jesus, hey, you need to dismiss the crowd so they can go and get something to eat. And Jesus says, they don't need to go anywhere to get anything to eat. You give them something to eat. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Obviously, it's going to be hard for us to think about in the midst of all the COVID crazy, but let's say we're out doing ministry. There's 15,000 people who we're ministering to as a church. And our plan was to be there from, say, 9 in the morning till about 1. But with all the people there, we're ministering and ministering and ministering. It gets to be about 6:30, 7. Nobody's eaten. And it's like, what are we going to do? And we're out in a field somewhere, you know, no cars or anything, and it's really difficult to... And we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, we got to dismiss these people so they can go get something to eat. And he looks at us, he says, they don't need to go anywhere, you give them something to eat. And so we look around, and all we find are 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And I love, you know, Andrew, in one of the Gospels, he says, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people? And in the text, it says that Jesus took them. He says he takes them. He says, have everybody sit down on the ground. Everybody sits down. And Jesus stands up, and probably at a moment when the conversation kind of died down and it was easy for him to be heard. And he looks up to heaven and he gives thanks for what he has. And with that, let's call it what it is, with that meager amount, he feeds nearly 15,000 people so that everybody has enough to eat till they're full, and there's still 12 baskets. We're not talking, we're not talking shoebox size. We're talking baskets full of food left over. You start with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Probably you could hold it all in 2 hands, and you're left with 12 baskets full of food. This is what God does when we give thanks. And so what happens when we give thanks? Well, the first thing that happens is that God reveals himself. This passage here that we read just before we started this morning in 2 Chronicles, the people began singing, our God is good, his love endures forever, right? That's one of the reasons why we sang the song we did this morning, right? His love endures forever. And as they begin to sing, as they begin to be thankful, it says the cloud began to fill the temple. God shows up to the point where the temple is so full with his smoke, the priests can't even do their duties. They can't perform the tasks that they are charged to perform, because the cloud is there and they can't see through it. And the truth of the matter is this, folks, is that sometimes when God shows up, we need to stop. What we're doing may be exactly what we're supposed to be doing, but when God shows up, we need to take a step back. God will reveal himself as faithful. He will reveal himself as enough. He will reveal himself as your provider. He will reveal yourself as your deliverer. He will reveal himself as your healer when you begin to be thankful. Because that's what God does in our thanks. But not only does he give, reveal himself, but he also renders help. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is a passage that we actually looked at when we were in this particular passage of Scripture. Jehoshaphat, you remember him? Jehoshaphat was in a pickle. He was in a tough spot. 3 nations were coming against him, and he had no hope of winning the battle. And so what he does is he brings all of Judah together at Jerusalem, and they all fast and pray, and Jehoshaphat stands in front of the temple and he cries out to the Lord. He reminds God of who he is. He reminds God of what he's done, and he says, God, these armies are coming against us and we have no way to stand up against them. We need you to act or we are done for. And then it says, after he got done praying, Jehoshaphat, the Levites, the priests, and all of the people stood before the Lord and they waited. I love that. And as they waited, God spoke to one of the priests, and he stood up and he told everybody, look, you do not need to be afraid. This battle is not yours, it's God's, and he is going to come through for you. All you got to do is muster the army and go to the place where that I tell you, and you'll see God move on your behalf. And so everybody begins to praise God and thank him for what he's done. And so Jehoshaphat, the next day, they get up and they get ready to go. And so Jehoshaphat, being the absolute brilliant military tactician that he was, puts the choir in the lead. That's not a smart move, by the way. The choir goes in the front, and he instructs the choir, as you're going out to battle, begin to sing thanks and praise to God. And that's what they did. Now, I don't know if they went out with voices cracking, Why are we here in the front? We don't have any weapons. We're just singers. What's going on? But they marched out, confident that God was going to do what he was going to do. And what did God do? He had the three armies slaughter each other that morning, so that when Israel came over the pass and saw the battlefield where there was going to be the battle, there was nothing there but dead bodies. That's what God does. When we offer our thanks, God renders help. In the midst of utter hopelessness, God will come to our rescue. How about that? Another thing that happens when we give thanks is that God relieves hunger. And for some reason, I jumped to this before I was supposed to. Matthew 14:14-21. That's what we talked about, how God provided for Jesus and the disciples to feed the people there. The feeding of the 5,000, which is actually probably more like 15,000. Have you ever been to an event that had 15,000 people at it? That's a lot of people. I mean, I remember going to a Steelers game in the old Three Rivers Stadium, and that sat close to 20,000. It's a lot of people. But this is what God does when we give thanks. He relieves hunger, not just hunger, physical hunger, but also spiritual hunger, emotional hunger. God can give what we cannot provide for ourselves. Finally, God restores hearts. Turn to Jeremiah 33, verses 10 and 11. This was another one of those sections that we studied together as we went through the scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 10 and 11 say this. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. There it is again, right? For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Elsewhere in Jeremiah, he talks about removing the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, right? This is what God does when we are thankful. He restores the joy and the heart that is broken when it gives thanks to God. He will restore it. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Let me give you some challenges today. First of all, I want to challenge you to do you want God to show up in your life every day? Okay, a couple of you. Look, God showing up every day can be and sometimes is annoying. Can I just be honest? Yes. Because God calls us to deeper commitment than we would normally do on our own. Exactly. He convicts us through His Word, through His Spirit. We look at the things that we're doing and the things that we've said or how we're acting. And it may come through His Word. It may come by the Spirit. It may come by your wife. Most often that's where it comes for me, which is good. I'm not complaining about that. I appreciate it. I do too. Laugh at me. But if you want God to show up in your life every day, Choose to be thankful. And then open your eyes. He's going to show up. Challenge number two. We talk about God rendering help. What hopeless situation do you find yourself in today? Now, I know none of us are surrounded by three armies of people who want to destroy us physically. Maybe we are relationally or mentally or emotionally. But what hopeless situation do you find yourself in today? Choose to be thankful and see how God brings help to those situations. Challenge number three, what are you hungry for today? We talked about God relieving hunger. Are you hungry for a better job, a better relationship, peace, more opportunities to share Christ? Are you hungry for, I don't know, what? I mean, you fill in the blank. You know what your heart is hungry for today. When we choose to be thankful, God will take what we have, be it ever so meager, and He will make it last and take it farther than we ever thought it could. And I want to challenge you today that whatever your heart is broken about today, whatever your heart is breaking over, I want to challenge you to rejoice and be thankful. Anyway, because in that thankfulness, God can and will come and restore. And it is hard to do. It is difficult to do. It's not easy to be thankful when our heart is broken. But when we choose to give thanks, even when things aren't going the way we want them to, God is at work. We all have much to be thankful for, don't we? We have a tradition in our family to go around the table at Thanksgiving and say at least two things for which we are most thankful. It's a tradition that's really gone back as far as when Cindy and I were first married. And it's so cool to hear my kids and my wife, my extended family, all share things for which they are thankful. I remember during one of those thankfulness go-arounds, one of my daughters said they were thankful that Mom was going to have another baby. And we weren't necessarily going to share that information, but she spilled the beans. But again, those are the kinds of things, those are the kind of memories that you look back on and you go, that's so awesome. There was a poem that I stumbled on many years ago that I want to share with you as we close today. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her, she seemed so happy, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, I have two feet, the world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment and then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know. I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. There's much that I can be thankful for in this life that God has given me to live, and I must admit that some days I don't feel very thankful at all. But as I prepared this sermon this week, God showed me that I can and ought to be thankful. And so I just like to selfishly share a few things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my family, who are a constant source of growth for me. My wife, who encourages and supports me with kind words and sometimes a gentle rebuke. She's the biggest blessing in my life. My children are so precious to me that I cannot begin to articulate just how much my thoughts and prayers are for them. They make my life a joy, and they are a blessing to so many others as well. I cannot believe I get to be called dad by them. I'm thankful for friends who I can laugh and joke with, play games with, relax and be myself with, and not fear condemnation if I should do or say something I shouldn't. I'm thankful for the wonderful ministry that God has called me to here at Grace Church. I'm thankful for each and every one of you who are a part of this wonderful congregation. You make my life a joy. I'm thankful for the salvation that I have received in Jesus. I'm thankful for my arms and legs and eyes and ears and voice. I'm thankful for the food that I eat and the air that I breathe and the body that is able to process all of it. I'm thankful for the encouragement that I get on a daily basis from those who pray for me and who encourage me. But most of all, I'm thankful that God loves me more than I can ever imagine. He's the one I live for. He is the master and commander of my life, and I hope and I pray that He is yours too. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your love and your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you have blessed us with, Lord, here. Thank you that our live stream is still running. Thank you that you have blessed us with all that we need to live a life that is godly and able to do what you want us to do. Lord, help us to live like we believe that you are with us all the time. Lord, be our master, be our commander. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that we have not surrendered to you, Lord, may we bring it to the altar and lay it down before you so that we can be truly content and thankful for all that you have given us. Lord, may this Thanksgiving truly be a blessing for us so that we might serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.